I thought this morning we'd have a look at this particular practice, which you can look on essentially as the first field of mindfulness. So it's a good place actually to start if you're coming to meditation for the first time. But it's also good and healthy to look back on, because you know, sometimes it reminds us of the things that are actually staring us in the face in meditation, and the things that perhaps we've forgotten to practice with and we should take our practice back to. So the first field of mindfulness is the body. You know, it's quite handy, the body, as a meditation subject, because we always have it with us. You know, it's quite a portable thing, really. So we can always turn our minds to the body. The meditation area itself is called vipassana. Vipassana is another of these Buddhist words. It means wisdom or insight, but it's not the the kind of traditional, perhaps intellectual type of insight or wisdom we're looking at here. It's just basic understanding of the way the world is, seeing things as they are. And this is why this area of meditation is so nice, because it does reveal one big obvious thing that is staring us in the face and we don't often see it. So we're going to take a look at the body connection. And first we need to get to grips also with the need to see and feel the body-mind connection. So it's not just about having a body and a mind, it's having a body-mind. It's clear that our bodies exist. They do. We can pinch ourselves. But without our minds, we wouldn't actually be aware of them. There's an obvious thing straight away. If we didn't have our minds, we wouldn't know our bodies existed. Might seem obvious, but actually that is surprisingly important. So when we explore our bodies with awareness, it's the mind that goes into the body. We take our awareness into the body and look at it and feel the sensations that are there. But there's a flip side to this, our emotions. Where do we actually feel our emotions when they come up? You know, when we think about, say, something like fear or anger, we kind of associate it with our minds, but actually we don't feel it here at all. We feel it down here in our gut and our heart area. That's where our emotions appear. So, and it's a useful exercise to work with emotions. The next time you experience an emotion, just stop yourself and ask, where is it? Where can you feel it? You feel it in your body. So the mind does the thinking about the situation, but it's the body that experiences it. So the two are very much connected. And this gives us something that is absolutely exceptional. It gives us the ability to connect deeply with the world around us. Because everything that happens out there, we feel in here. Our first level of connection with the world is through our five senses. So take, for example, smell, which is pretty prominent this morning because we put too much incense into the burner. But this sense of smell. So a chemical enters the nose and it straight away triggers the sense. But of course, what happens next is it touches the mind, because it's the mind that interprets the smell. It places meaning on it, and it also applies all of our kind of previous history and experience that we associate with that smell. And we may actually then, just by the entry of the smell alone, find emotions triggering through. So we've now got a real vehicle to explore mindfulness by paying attention to our bodies. We can really start to feel the emotions as they're triggered by what goes on out there. And we can look around ourselves and see what might have triggered them. And sometimes that's complex. Practicing this way, we often find that our interpretation of the emotions we're carrying around in ourselves are actually wrong. There's a lot of writing on this in mindfulness books about not trusting your own thoughts. And the more you practice mindfulness, the more you discover actually they're not telling you the truth about the situation, which is quite interesting. So we feel an emotion and it starts to drive our behaviour. So perhaps we blame the emotion on some aspect of our lives, but in truth, it could be something entirely different. There's a classic example of this, and I've given it to you guys a few times, but it's a lovely example. And it's about the monk who's walking through New York, and he's just walking down the street. He was a Buddhist monk. This is a genuine story he wrote about it. And he suddenly felt anger arise in his body. He thought, what's all that about? You know, what's causing the anger? So he stopped in the street and just looked around him because he knew something had triggered it. And on the other side of the street was a gentleman walking up the other way. And this monk did not know that gentleman, never met him before. But this chap had a particular walking gait and a particular body shape that was similar to someone that had wronged this monk in the past. And this is classic behaviour. This is what we do all the time. So there you've got a monk walking down the street. He hasn't consciously registered this chap, but the chap walking up the other side of the street has that similar shape. His unconscious mind picks it up and triggers this emotion through the memory mechanisms in the mind. We call this vedanas in Buddhist practice. Happens on many levels all the way through our day. We now know, new neuroscientists tell us, that when we look out on the world, actually we're getting about 9,000 sensory inputs at any one time. Actually, our conscious mind can only cope with 9, but all those 9,000 are going in, and they're all hitting those sense doors, and they're all going through this process of vedanas. They are triggering stuff that is locked inside of us. A very complex process that we're not actually consciously aware of. Now, of course, we're not monks. So we don't spend our day mindfully wandering around. So if that had been perhaps me walking down that street, I'm walking down and anger arises in my body, but you know, I've not even noticed it. I'm still walking down the street. And now I'm carrying this anger with me. And walking the other way is some poor chap who accidentally nudges me, you know. Innocent accident just nudges me. I now discover the anger that's wandering around in my body, and I straight away blame it on this poor sap that's just happened to walk into me, and he gets it both barrels. That's the kind of behaviour we have, and we're doing it all the time, every day. It's quite phenomenal. We start to pay attention. That's what we're doing in mindfulness. We're paying attention. We start to become aware of all this subtle interplay within our bodies, the emotions within us, and actually how the world is triggering them. We might not even remember the triggers. It doesn't matter. We might not even remember the person that wronged us at a previous time and caused cause this subconscious trigger. Some of them might go back to when we were three. So the chances are we won't remember. It doesn't matter, actually. Because we can start to practice and just become aware of the interplay of emotions and actually how they're affecting us. Actually, with a lot of emotions, there's something physical that we notice in the body when we practice like this, and it's tension. So all these types of emotion, such as fear, anxiety, worry, anger, they all have tension. And lo and behold, where do we experience that tension? In our heart and in our gut. Now, actually, if we don't let go of that tension and we carry it around for too long, we affect ourselves physically and emotionally. So physically, we end up with hypertension, high blood pressure, heart problems, and all of these start to occur because we're not letting go. And it's no good blaming the world or blaming the people that have caused this tension in our bodies, because when we blame, actually what we do is reinforce the emotion in our minds and the tension gets bigger. It might well be their fault, but actually holding them accountable to it is not going to help us. So what we have to do is work on it ourselves. And that's what this meditation is all about, actually. So this is a difficult practice, you know. We started off with this simple idea of paying awareness to our bodies. But now, as you can see, it's getting more complex because we've got to carry this awareness with us through our day. Even when our day is chaotic and there's a hell of a lot of stuff hitting us, we've got to somehow keep ourselves back from that and go, what's going on in my body? Actually, yes, my day is chaotic, but these emotions, are they actually appropriate to these events, or are they being triggered by something else entirely? Whoa, this is getting a complex picture now. That's not easy. And the key to achieving it is developing habit. So it's a habit of mind watching and a habit of body watching, actually. This term mindfulness, it's a useful term, but actually I find it's better to call it mind watching. I think that's a much better word, because that's all we're doing. We're just watching with awareness. So how do we develop this habit? Well, how we meditate. That's what we do. In actual fact, when we're meditating, we're not making progress. What we're doing is developing mental habit. When we make progress is when we get out into the world and we use that habit and we start mind watching in our lives and seeing how these things influence us. So the meditation we're going to do today is the Vipassana meditation, is the body scan, actually. And it's the one we always start with in our practices. And therefore, it's a good one to go back to, because we can just use the body scan as a meditation in its own right. It does reveal a great deal about the way the mind works when we're meditating. So we will sit down, and we must sit down comfortably. You must be comfortable in meditation. There's no need to sit in full lotus. I couldn't anyway. And just be comfortable. The most important thing is to have a nice, strong posture, upright spine. You will find that if you pay attention to the mind in meditation, when you're slouched, your mind is kind of dull and sleepy. And actually what we need in meditation is a mind that is fresh and aware. And it's absolutely right that when we sit up, we have that awareness in our mind. It helps us stop falling asleep, for one thing, which can help. So we're going to sit, get ourselves comfortable, and what we're going to do is, in our own time, work through our bodies. So you can start at the tip of the toe of the right foot, for example, and you're going to pour your attention into there and just feel the sensations. That's all we're doing. Just feel as much as you possibly can. So spend a few seconds in the toe, then move along, working across the sole of the foot, working across the ankle, up the leg, you know. And take whichever journey you want to through your life, through your body. You know, so you could start at the top of the head if that makes more sense to you. Working through the body, feeling every aspect of it. Spend a bit of time in the gut and the heart space. What's going on there? How do you feel? Yeah. Is the tension there? And if there is, work with it. So you will find tension in all sorts of places in the body. And always when you find it, just try and get used to letting go. Everything is a muscle here. Yeah. Even the heart. Well, we know it's a muscle, but we can soften it. So that's all we're doing. We're just working through feeling sensations, finding tension, and encouraging it to release. You will find bits of your body that might have pain. When you find that, just spend a bit of time there. Don't push it away. Try and relax the tension that's associated with it. And actually look at the pain. Pain in meditation is a great educator, if you like, because we have lots of pain in our lives. And if we push it all away, we're pushing away great chunks of our lives. So it teaches us how to behave and experience pain in a different way. All different types of pain. However, if the pain is unbearable and you're thinking, I can't take this anymore, then just mindfully move a little. That's okay too. If you need to cough, if you need to sneeze, that's fine. Just do it. So I will gently ding the bell every 5 minutes just to keep us all present. But that doesn't mean you've got to move on from wherever you are. You will also find that the mind has this playful quality of wanting to pull you away. There are definitely parts of our bodies which you won't feel very much at all. I mean, the top of my left arm, I don't tend to get much excitement out of spending my time feeling the sensations there. I'm thinking, I'm not sure I can feel anything. But spend the time there. You'd be surprised what you can pick up. But when you do that, you'll find the mind wants to pull you away, either with thoughts, you know, just suddenly drifting off, or another bit of the body fires up and, you know, my right elbow suddenly says, I need some attention over here, and the mind goes. When it does, just gently bring it back to wherever you got to before and go, nope, that's where we are right now, we'll come to you later. Okay, so we are developing that habit through a sense of kind of self-discipline, very simple self-discipline here, just to get the mind to concentrate. The type of concentration we're looking at here is something called samadhi, which is a very soft but intent concentration. So we're keeping the mind anchored on wherever we've got to. We don't want to try too hard with our meditation and get frustrated and angry with it. The meditation will definitely come falling down if we do that. But on the other hand, we have to put some effort in, otherwise nothing's going to happen. I have to say, this meditation, the body scan, I've had some of my deepest meditations with this one. I mean, we have all these other potentially exotic sounding meditations in Buddhism, but the body scan actually is one of the simplest and most concentrated. So you might find you go in deep with this one and find it easy. Who knows? Okay. Any questions or thoughts or observations before we go in? No? No? Molly? No? We good? Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.